The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You are listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Skiing. This is the TWBC Podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings one and all. My name is Tony Lightfoot. Glad to have the pleasure of your company on this latest edition of the TWBC Podcast. Now, a big announcement was made by the skier who I'll be interviewing for this episode. And with that, Joel Poland, what was the big brouhaha that you announced over your Facebooks and socials?
The big MC. I am now part of the Mastercraft Boat Company. We announced that on Friday. It's been a long road getting here, and you know, I'm just like beyond stoked to be a part of this team.
Excellent stuff. So congratulations for that. I mean, how long did it? I mean, there must have been meetings and phone calls and all that kind of stuff, you know, and references and what have you. Been thrown into the mix? I mean, how long did it take for this deal to go down?
You know, I'd say we've been flirting for a few years. It's been a little bit back and forth of, you know, I'd say I was kind of the first one to reach out when I was kind of a bit more of a nobody and said, you know, I'd love to be a part of this team. Huge fan of Freddy Krueger and Freddy Winter, so kind of reached out to those guys to begin with. And yeah, we've been back and forth flirting, but I'd say it all kind of came together in the last 2 weeks. We had a nice sit down meeting, and you know, our views aligned. Everyone seemed to be on the same page, and pretty much instantly I signed a contract, and here I am.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't as a result of like the latest two world overall records, one of them just accepted and another one appending. It wasn't anything that Mastercraft reached out to you for in that respect, right?
I mean, I'm sure they helped. I'd say it's probably just, you know, the last 3 years, seeing the way my career's gone since I first initially reached out. I mean, you know, I wasn't a world champion or anything like that. I had no world records when I was first trying to make it happen. And over the last few years, I've managed to get some wins, some records, and yeah, build a bit of a name around myself. And I think, you know, they see that I've got a bit of a future in this sport, hopefully, and they're backing me.
All right, then. So let's discuss this a little bit, because I'm sure there are people out there that have a lot of questions for you. Mm-hmm. in respect to all of this. And I actually prepped you for this interview with beforehand, so you know of the kind of questions that I'm going to ask you about.
Yeah.
And they seem to fall in line with a lot of what our listeners are probably going to be asking. So first question. I mean, primarily you're an overall skier, but I mean you do jump and your slaloms are pretty decent, along with your tricks, you know. So I mean, but the thing that you're most known for are the world overall records, the current one, the one that just gotten accepted, and the one that is currently pending. And it is probably the worst kept secret in the industry that if you do. If you are in the situation where you could potentially produce a world record, that you do it behind the boat that you're contracted to ski behind, is that in place here, or is that very?
You know, that was probably my first question I had actually when we sat down and had our meeting. What's the deal here with records? Because you know, if I have an opportunity to win a tournament or break a record, like, got to be honest, I'm always going to take it. Like, the competitor in me is not gonna pass up on a record. They're rare moments or rare opportunities, and Mastercraft were like fully on board with that. They couldn't have been more cool with it and just said, look, we're here for you as an athlete, we want to work with you, you know. They want to grow the sport, they don't want to limit you. And yeah, they were totally cool, totally on board, and it was like an instant, hey, if you get an opportunity, like, take it.
So, I mean, if you broke the overall world record, like at, say, the Masters or at the Malibu Open, they wouldn't have any qualms about that?
I'm pretty sure they'd give me a clap and a congratulations, you know. They seem to be very cool and very much on the same page of, like, we're here to help you as an athlete and to become better. And, yeah, I mean, we've not been in that situation yet, so we'll see when it comes around. But by the sounds of it, they're very, very cool about that kind of stuff.
Well, excellent, because I mean, you've demonstrated that behind any boat that you can perform up to a decent level. I mean, case in point, the Malibu Open about two or three weeks ago over in Tuscaloosa, and then world overall record behind the Mastercraft over at Lake Grue, and an overall world record right here at Jack's dating back to 2022. So you've definitely. You're not exactly dependent upon the boat so far as producing the world overall record.
No, I mean, you give me any kind of opportunity and...
Put you behind a Boston Whaler.
Mate, give me an opportunity and I'll swing for it. Honestly, I had a few tournaments at the start of the year in Europe where I was frustrated at myself for not getting closer to that record. And then, you know, you have to go back and look and go, well, you know, it comes down to more than just a boat. There's just so many variables that come into breaking a record, which is why I say, you know, if there's an opportunity, I'm not laying up. I'm taking it at every opportunity possible. And yeah, Mastercraft seem to be cool with that. Like, I don't think every boat company can say the same. I know in the past there's been hairy moments with athletes breaking records behind other boats and bad situations, but that is not Mastercraft. And I think that's why it works between us as well, honestly.
I think you were probably you might have made a little bit of a slight reference to Jacinta Carroll. I mean, when she broke the world record behind the Mastercraft, you know, at Lake Grue and the Mastercraft Pro, like about two... it was actually in 2021, right after these world championships, you know, and then the result of that was she was booted from the Nautique and ended up with the... with skiing behind Mastercraft, at least so far as their Melbourne, Australia dealership is concerned. Yeah,
is that so? I didn't know.
Yes,
I was totally unaware.
Well, I mean, it was certainly the case, you know. So, I mean, obviously, you're very wary of that. But you actually, credit to you, you made mention that possibility right from the get go in the negotiation. So, fair play to you on that one. Now, so far as training. Obviously, people who know you well or even know you vaguely well, know that you train over at Matt Rini's place, which is a staunch Nautique place.
Yep.
And so, and I mean, I spoke to Matt Rini just a short while ago and mentioned the fact that you've gotten the Mastercraft deal. Typically, that comes with a boat, but... And I mean, he said he'd gotten calls on his phone. His cell phone had been basically ringing off the hook, so to speak, like wondering, is there going to be a Mastercraft at Matt Rini's? I mean, how are you going to deal with that situation? So basically, that's the question. I mean, how does that work, knowing that that the boat that you're sponsored by, that you were trained behind, you know, can't be put on the water at your training site of choice?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of sites, like, I wouldn't say Matt's is the perfect training site in the world. I'd say as a training site, it's an amazing place, and you know, no one really skis at Matt's because of the conditions. I think we're all on the same page if we ski with Matt, because we ski with Matt, you know. And he's always been, you know, and more our relationship's grown over the years, but he's always been so much more than a coach to me. Like, in a lot of ways, he's, you know, a second dad. Like, more importantly, he's a friend, a manager as well at times. And yeah, I mean, our relationship isn't strained in any way. He couldn't have been more happy for me, and he's on the same page of, you know, Mastercraft is definitely the brand that fits me the most, as a person. Like, I couldn't see myself being with any other brand, really, is who I am. I feel like I'd have to bend and break a little too much to make that work. And yeah, he's on the same page as me. So in terms of mine and Matt's relationship, zero strain there. I will be getting a boat from Mastercraft, which is quite nice. And there is no chance that we're going on Matt's lake. He made that one very clear. He said, I love you, but like, I won't go too deep into that one. But that won't be happening. However, I do have, luckily, a lot of friends in Florida, and I don't live in a lake, but many of them do, so I can put it on one of my friends' lake.
I'll come to
ski there as well a little bit. Exactly. So that's the next thing. I just got to find someone who will ski with me, which I can't see that being too big of an issue in Florida. And there's always somewhere around, right?
And you'll probably get a chance or two to train with Freddy Krueger for jumping behind his boat, right?
And that's what I'm probably most excited about, is just an opportunity to ski and learn from Freddy Krueger. I mean, like, the knowledge that's in that man's head, like, I just want to know a piece of it. He's always had a lot of time for me. I'm hoping now I can get a bit more of that time even. And of course, Freddie Winter, a great friend of mine. You know, we used to ski. He was my skiing partner up until I was about 14, 15 when he moved to Florida.
He says he can't stand you.
Yeah, he's lying. He loves me. He bullies me a lot, and I bully him back. So we've got a good English relationship, I'd say.
Get as good as you can get.
Man, like, being able to ski with those two, I think that's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of opportunity to learn and kind of grow as a person.
All right, then. You come into these World Championships 2023, mm-hmm. 2 seasons out of snagging your first world overall title. Do you feel any pressure on your shoulders? Do you feel the level of expectation grabbing onto you, or are you just gonna just swagger on through as you typically do most tournaments? You know, with the Hawaiian shirt and the, you know, and all that going on.
When I look back to 2 years ago at the Worlds and where I was as a water skier and an athlete, you know, I was becoming a pretty good skier, but I skied my socks off. You know, I had an incredible tournament. I think I PB'd in basically every event. Like, had a really, really good tournament. Over the last 2 years, I'd say I've just kind of really found my groove, solidified it. Now, you know, I look back to when I've had my worst tournaments this year, and there's something I would have been happy to have done 2 years ago, and now when I have my worst tournament, you know, it's not too much of a deal breaker. So there's definitely that little bit of pressure there, but at the same time, I'd say that my confidence as a skier has grown. I feel more confident in my base level ability in terms of trying to peak. Had a little more tournaments this year than I did 2 years ago, so my body's definitely gone through the strain, and you know, you have those emotional up and downs, mm-hmm. as well as the body up and downs, and I've been going through it a little bit more this year than I did 2 years ago, but I don't think I could be any more prepared than I am now.
Sounds good. Now Great Britain, 2 seasons ago at the World Championships, managed to get a second place finish in the team overall, and they come into this competition. You're part of that team, and coming in with a team that shows every indication as being one of the better ones that they've produced. What do you say to that?
I mean, we've got a pretty strong team. I'm certain of that. I mean, we got me and Luke as the two overall guys, and you know, Luke's a pretty good skier. Like, he can hold his own. He's been skiing out in Louisiana. He goes to college out there, Lafayette. Reigning champions, go Laffy. big fan of those guys. Some cool guys on that team.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we've got me and Luke as the overall guys. And then Rob is actually bringing out his trick ski for us, which is going to be pretty exciting because we haven't seen Rob stand on a trick ski since the start of the year at Moomba.
I'm taking it he's not jumping.
He is not jumping. We put that one out there, and he gave us a very firm hell no.
Okay.
You know, I was thinking for a second we should have put Will on the team, because I saw him on some jump skis earlier this year, and
yeah, I
know
that.
He was a pretty decent tricker, but luckily on the jump scene we got me, Luke, and some decent redhead guy. I think his name's Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's around. He's a pretty decent jumper. I think he's gone 230 like 3 or 4 times this year. So I'd say, yeah, our team's fairly stacked.
Yeah.
I'm definitely happy with how we're looking, but of course...
You didn't mention the ladies yet.
Oh, we got some lovely girls on our team. I do love the girls on our team, but I got to say, our guys are dirty, man. We got some good guys on our team, but on the girls' side, we do have... I think we have Sandra Outram on the team, who's a great friend of mine. Luke's sister, actually, which is kind of cool. We got a nice brother and sister out there. And then we got Jen Benjamin as well, who's... wicked gal, and yeah, I saw both of them ski today. They look like they were doing pretty good out there.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing them practice, you know, because I'm getting some early reads from the team that she's been really, really pounding the ramp with some serious intent to Jennifer Benjamin and trying to put a score out there on the team, because in the team competition, only 3 out of the 6 scores, mm-hmm. The top 3 scores go towards the team's total. So wanting to have the overall score to be as part of those top 3, you know, it's going to be a challenge, you know. But I mean. It says a lot for a determination.
Oh, damn straight. I mean, look, just having a team like that, and we have like such good chemistry on our team. I feel like we're all really good friends, which you know, all teams definitely have that to a point, but we're all pretty good pals on that team, which makes it real nice and easy for everyone. But yeah, it's great to see, you know, the sort of level in England of where it's at, and that we're actually contenders for a podium.
Well, excellent stuff. So I'm gonna let you go so you can get ready for your jump practice. But once again, congratulations on the boat deal.
Thank you very much.
Is there anything you want to say as we close off this episode of the TWBC podcast?
MC till the day we die.
Indeed, indeed. And that was Joel Poland. My name's Tony Lightfoot, and this edition of the TWBC podcast. So until next time, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.